This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
By this time tomorrow, plenty of golfers will be in the clubhouse and definitely still out there. Shinnecock, day one, U.S. Open. We'll get right into it by going out to the Progressive guest line. Jeff Seeley joins the program now. Cutmaker Podcast is out on any spot that you get your podcast. Follow him on X at Cutmaker Jeff. Hey, pal, good to talk to you as always. Do we expect the course to be as hard as everybody's talking about, or is there a chance it's going to be maybe slightly easier?
I mean, it's going to be really tough, but they're going to take a few measures. I think they talked about injecting some water in between the morning wave and afternoon wave, but it's going to be really tough. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And just hearing some interviews with guys on the course, you know, hearing things like the greens look like an upside down cereal bowl, and, you know, guys who have won on tour saying there's just no way I could hold the green here. It's going to be very, very difficult. Which is why so much of what I'm looking at this week is putting a huge amount of weight on guys who can chip and putt, because I think as much as anything, no matter how good your irons are, you're going to have to be able to hold the greens. If you can't, you're going to have to be able to get up and down.
So what is this? We're going to get hydration breaks in golf too this week? Is that what you're telling me?
I guess at least the greens are right. And, right. And that should make, you know, if nothing else, I think it might even out a little bit between the evening waves and the afternoon waves. And one other thing we've heard a ton about, guys, is the weather, right? And yep. You know, the various waves, that the morning wave may have a huge advantage. I actually think that may be a little bit overhyped. And I know there's been a lot of pricing adjustments and matchups for guys who are in the morning versus the afternoon. If it's not as bad as people think it's going to be, then there actually could be an edge from books who have overreacted to that. So mm-hmm. I think it'll be interesting. So just look at that a little bit as you're looking at matchups. If there's a guy you like who's in the afternoon wave and the price seems kind of off kilter, look at the waves they're in, and it could very easily be that's the difference in the price. And again, look at the weather and make your own decisions, because I looked at it and I don't think the weather difference, I think it's going to be bad for everybody. And if you take the worst is supposed to be at 11 a.m. Well, if you tee off at 8 o'clock, you're still going to be playing in that really crappy weather at 11 a.m. So, I think it's going to be bad for everybody. I think the weather wave may be a little bit overhyped.
Let's start top of the board. A couple guys, 22, 23 to one, please.
Yeah. So full disclosure, I did bet on Koepka, but I got bad numbers and, it was before he had any injuries. So I'll start with that. But then at the top of the board, again, guys, Tommy Fleetwood, 22 to 1. I played him 18 to 1 each way, eight places at Bet365. The case for Fleetwood's really straightforward. Finished T11 at RBC Canadian last week, T4 at the Memorial 2 weeks ago, T5 at Quail Hollow in early May. The form is very clearly there. Has eight majors and top tens, and he has runner-up finishes in two majors that I think correlate very, very well here for obvious reasons. 2018 at Shinnecock and the 2019 Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Royal Portrush, another coastal test with tons of wind and wild conditions. The PGA Championship at Southern Hills actually was another extremely difficult course. Fleetwood took fifth. So his approach game sucked at the first two majors, as it is around the green game, but he gained four strokes on approach last week, six strokes around the green with Memorial. Maybe he's figured something out. Again, I think the way to play him is either in the each way market as I did, or top 10, top five, and some on the outright. So I just don't see a scenario where he doesn't show up this week. I also like Fleetwood in a matchup over Cam Young. And then my pick to win the U.S. Open is Matt Fitzpatrick. He's also my pick to win the Open Championship. I also played him 18-1 each way at eight places. I think he's the cleanest course fit on the board outside of the top three favorites. Already U.S. Open champion. Finished T12 here in 2018. T12 at the U.S. Open at Pebble, another coastal U.S. Open challenge, and finished runner-up at the RBC Canadian Open. So his 2026 resume, you know, include three wins in 2026. All that lead to, you know, why I think he's going to be the winner this year. Whether you believe his approach play matters a lot this week or not, I can tell you that having strong approach play won't hurt you, and he's gained on approach in 10 straight events. You have to be able to chip here. He's gained around the green in 13 straight events. You'll have to make putts. He's gained with the putter in seven of his last 10 events. So no reason not to be on Fitzpatrick other than the potential of the bad weather draw, if you believe in that. I'm playing him. I'm going to ladder him exact same way I did Fleetwood. Those are my top two players at the top.
All right. Very good. Let's work our way down the odds board a little bit. Jeff Seeley, our guest, he's on the Progressive guest line. Follow him on X at Cutmaker Jeff, and you're going to make a case here for a couple of guys, high 30s, low to mid 40s here to win. Go ahead and start with Russell Henley.
Yeah, another guy, again, if you're weary of the weather draw, I think that that's really the lone argument against Russell Henley. In 2018, he had a T25 year. Last year at Royal Portrush, another coastal course, he had a T10. In his last U.S. Opens, he's missed one cut, finished top 10 twice, and has not finished worse than 27th, aside from his missed cut. He's just the perfect ladder bet. He really is. You make a big bet on the top 20, of which he has 8 in 13 events this year. His plus 130 price, I think, is fair. And you're getting plus 300 on top 10, which I think is also interesting. Don't have a ton to say on Henley other than he's a poor man's Fleetwood or Fitzpatrick. He plays well in big events like U.S. Opens. I think he'll perform here. It's funny, Tyrrell Hatton said that, you know, he thinks this week the course is going to make people's head explode, and he has an advantage because his head explodes every week. So he's really used to it. Even if we ignore his win on LIV last time out, which he did win, it's impossible to ignore his T3 at the Masters in April. He's coming in with good form. His irons have gained in 5 straight and around the green in 4 of his last 5, and he gained 6 strokes putting last week. So form is really good. Finished T6 here in 2018, finished T4 at a very tough U.S. Open at Oakmont last year, finished T6 and 16 at 2 Royal Portrush Opens. I just think he's in a great setup here. I don't know that he's going to win the U.S. Open, but I'm going to play him top 20, top 10, a little on the outright, because I think the tougher it gets, the better his chances get. And then at 49-1, we've got the GOAT, Fat Pat.
The GOAT.
my favorite boy to play him is plus 345, top 10. Guys, he's the one player on this card I'm buying purely on the intersection of psychology and short game. 2018 Masters winner, mental edge in major championships. A few players really have. Short game is top 10 in the world. This year in 2 majors, he has a top 10 and a top 12. 2 wins, a runner-up, and a top 10 on the DP World Tour since leaving LIV. 4th place at Shinnecock in 2018. 10th place with the Royal Portrush. His form's great. His history is great. This may sound crazy, but I'm going to be really surprised if Patrick Reed does not finish top 10 this week.
Wow.
He's just too tough of a competitor. Gets up and down as well as anyone on earth. Plus 345 is fantastic. It's one of my favorite bets on the card.
Excellent. Very good. How about the bomb squad? Compelling case for a couple guys here. About 90 and 100-1. Take it away.
Yeah, and this is one, guys, I think it's really important to make sure, especially this week, in a tournament that's going to be really tough and we'll have a lot of close guys really close on the leaderboard, to make sure you understand the rules of your dead heat bets in the placement markets. I know DraftKings has ties pay full. FanDuel, for example, doesn't. I think it's a really important factor here, especially in bets like this with Harris English. He's 88-1 on the outright, but my favorite bet of this week is Harris English, top 30. He's like plus 125 or so at DraftKings. He is the quintessential U.S. Open grinder, and Shinnecock is the exact venue where that profile shines. He's missed one cut in 2026 and has finished inside the top 30 in 11 times in 13 events. I'm not sure what exemplifies a grinder more than that does. So here's two things you can lock in with English. He's going to be average off the tee, but he's never going to be bad, and he is going to putt the lights out. He's gained an average of 3.5 strokes putting over 13 events in 2026. He's only lost strokes putting once. What's more interesting, though, guys, is how he's performed in the majors since 2024. He's finished inside the top 30 7 times in 10 majors. 70% of the time, he's finished in the top 30. That's unreal, and it falls right in line with his current form. Another guy I'm going to ladder, but him finishing top 30, my biggest bet of the U.S. Open. And then one more guy, 100, you can find him a little over 100-1. My favorite way to play him is top 20 plus 265 is the reigning PGA Championship winner, Aaron Rye. Walks in proving he can win a very tough test at that event. His low cut like bullet driver is perfect for this event, perfect for the wind. I think he's perfectly positioned for the tee as well as anyone. Take out last week and then look at his 3 prior events. T19 the Memorial, won the PGA Championship, 5th place at Myrtle Beach in those events. I love Aaron Rye this week.
Awesome breakdown. Dynamite analysis. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck, man. I hope you kill it. Happy Father's Day, all of it. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
There you go. Jeff Seeley on X at Cutmaker Jeff. Podcast is called the Cutmaker Podcast as well on the Progressive Guest Line. And a couple of moments ago, Croatia with the equalizer. Knotted up at one apiece, 40th minute here.
BTTS now 16-6 for the tournament.
Uh-huh.
Why are there so many goals?
I got to tell you, I mean, that goal was pretty damn impressive from Croatia's side as well.
It was.
Up next, win some, lose some. Paul's going to recap a lot of the betting action from yesterday. And again, boy, oh boy. It's easy to say now, but we wish we had this one in pocket. Tell you what that is next.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that almost feels too good to be true. First, credit where credit's due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're getting involved with a few props and alt markets as well. There's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month just $9.99 or save big with promo code POD26 on the annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. All right, great match going on right now. England on top of Croatia, 3-2. They play 66th minute in Dallas. Harry Kane with two goals earlier already in this match. He's higher than 2-1 right now to get one more and complete the hat trick. You mentioned, watch out, next Monday, Australia. Check. I said it again. Austria against Argentina. You think it's going to be wide open? You're going to bet alt overs in that one. Messi is plus 110 for a goal.
What is he to score two goals?
5-1.
I take it. He's going to have a lot of chances. Okay. That's just the way they play. You saw all the chances Jordan had last night.
Right.
They create chances and they give up chances. It's just like Carolina in hockey with that forecheck, right? They create a lot of chances, but they also give up the highest number of odd man rushes and the highest number of breakaways every year.
What do you think of this bet? I mentioned that end of the first hour, and Paulie and I talked about it as the games were progressing yesterday. So it's, I think, June 26th when they play. Norway is going to get France. They're in each other's group. Over 2.5 even money. With the star power on the pitch, Mbappe and Holland.
So
I mean,
much talent.
Oh, they're insane.
Mbappe, he might be the third best player on that team. Are you kidding me? I thought he would press and try to do too much this year because he's slowly losing control of this team. There's just so many finishers. This Holland. This Holland is so hard. I don't think he's one-dimensional only in the box. I think he creates from midfield as well, but it's so tough to defend. He's so much bigger and stronger than everybody. Again, that's another total I think should be at least 3.
It's got to be like blocking Myles Garrett. Holland, like, how do you defend the guy?
Well, you can't defend him. Did you see when Spain, I guess, who's resting everybody, finally brought in Yamal and Wade? They were triple-teaming Yamin Lamal. That. What a story that was.
Yeah.
By the way, I laid 3.5 goals in that game. So I look pretty good. By the 20-minute mark, though, after the I bet under 2.5, I could see where this was going.
Sure.
I could land 3-0, and I lose both ways. But
are you guys crushing it with the draws?
No, we're crushing it with the totals.
Really?
But people bet under.
Plus 27 units just betting the draw.
Yeah, but people now are betting the draws. And it's going to have to happen again now, right? Uh-huh. You had the 4 draws one day. Now everybody's going
to
bet the draws.
Well, you got the banger to start the day. That was a big one. What happened there? 1-0 Portugal.
Portugal's a disappointing international team for me in the last half a generation here. I think they've wasted they've wasted a lot and should have taken Mourinho as their manager if they would have had the chance. He's a native Portuguese. You would have thought we would have got crushed here. Now, I said Thursday, we had this incredible crowd for the opener with Mexico, and I said it won't be as big a crowd for USA. There was. On Friday night, there was an incredible – every seat in the book was filled. People – everybody on their feet for the national anthem. Everybody chanting USA, USA. I said, we're going to get crushed on this game, right? Mm-hmm. With everybody, the USA winning and winning. But no, no. We made out great because of all the underbets.
Did you really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's stunning.
It was one of our best results. And we got beat six figures to the USA, and it was still one of our best results. Because under first half, under game, we made a lot of money.
Well, this is the BTTS. How about that? 16-6 now.
It's not that popular a bet here, Paul.
Okay.
It's just not
a lot
that
of times
popular.
It's plus money.
Yeah. For people that bet it year round, people take that, right? We look at all the options. But once again, you're looking at a crowd that, you know, bets it a couple times a year,
this
sport.
So the sportsbook now for the middle of June on a Wednesday looks damn good. Derek said Stadium Swim, the great, amazing pool here, is sold out today. What is it like for the Mexico match tomorrow night against South Korea, and then Friday, that's going to be up in Seattle, but USA gets Australia at noon our time.
At noon, and we have a big parade. You know, it's Bournemouth is sponsoring the celebration here, and we have former Bournemouth players here. Of course, Bill Foley owns both the Knights and Bournemouth, and we got a parade and all kinds of giveaways. It should be a great crowd on Friday. I'll be in Iowa, but they canceled all their meetings Friday afternoon, so they can be around watching the book in the book and stadium. It's just, as much as I love the book, Stadium Swim atmosphere for these games is pretty special.
Phenomenal. Can't beat it.
True.
I think for this match, though, coming up, you're going to be, again, it's going to be crawling with people. The public will be betting everything, USA every which way but loose.
And well, Australia looked awfully good, didn't
they? That was surprising.
Yeah. I was shocked by how good Australia looked. I had the other way. And I can't, it's just, isn't it just Turkey? Can we, everybody have to say Turkey A or whatever. I had Turkey in that game. I bet Turkey on
the
3.
They had
no shot.
Yes.
They had zero chance against the Aussies.
Mm-hmm. Now to do it again. That's a big ass, though.
I don't know. I hope it's a 3-2 game. I hope it's a wildly entertaining game.
Well, we were awesome.
I thought our guys offensively, so creative, so good with the first touch.
True.
I was blown away by that.
Yes.
Would you guys be looking for new jobs if they win the whole thing?
Oh, come on. Nobody's looking for new jobs. The Aces would have won on Monday. We might have had some dim lights, but
okay.
But we'll be okay.
Of all things,
we'll be okay here.
Yeah. All right.
Did you have a big say in the game five NBA spread where you went with the 5 plus 5.5?
That was all 6? Derek. I had no say in it.
Okay.
I was hoping it landed 5 just so you'd be wrong. But no. It landed 5 the other way.
Yes, right.
It's unbelievable.
Can we expect more of that?
Yes. He really wants to create action, and it created a ton of action.
Now we would
have lost, like, I think, $600K if it had landed 5. But we wrote a lot more because of it. So he's taking a chance. I love it. I love what he's doing there.
During a commercial break, I mentioned the total.
Yeah.
And he seemed maybe to do something with the total, too. That he said, if he could do that.
Well, we do some with the totals in soccer. That'll really create the action. Wow. 2 and 2.5.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Could you believe the first quarter number? 3.5 here?
Got to 3.5. And I told...
The game was 5.
Jonathan Davis was here hanging out with me at Bar.
Yeah.
He said, I want to bet the game. What should I bet? I said, bet this first quarter now before this thing gets to 3. 3.5 it got.
Yeah.
Yet still won everything.
Yep.
I think 1-10 lost once in the last month, and the first quarter won everything. It's amazing.
It was.
Yeah. You're a big hockey guy as well. I know Derek was at the game on Sunday night. You went to game 4? You were at one of the games.
I've never been to a Stanley Cup final. They let me go to when Columbus is here on a Tuesday.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
They let me host the
when they're drunk at Andiamo.
They're always here on the weekend.
What'd you make of that today? So now the Golden Knights are going to go with Ryan Craig.
Yeah. He should have went with him after game 3. If they'd have went with him after game 3, I'd have liked the move better. No, I mean... to me, the surprising thing is that Tortorella in every single interview said, no matter what, I'm going back to my grandkids. Kelly and I had a handshake. It's over in June. Now he's lamenting. Oh, I really wanted to coach the team. Well, then don't get the team fined and lose a draft pick.
Yeah,
right?
How about that?
Don't tell people. You know who asked that question? It was Johnny Lazarus.
Johnny Lazarus did.
Did you know that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was. I didn't know until after the fact. The Carter Hart, dumbest question he's ever, stupidest question he's ever heard. It was Johnny Lazarus.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
What will it take
Stormy
for him to
defended
get
it. Stormy defended it.
No, I didn't have a problem with it.
She said, he was just deflecting attention from Hart. It's hard to deflect attention from gang rapists. But anyhow.
Yeah.
I typed the name Jim Hiller into YouTube today.
Did you stop? Did it give us his challenge?
No, it didn't. It was Maple Leafs fans losing their minds over the hire.
Mitch, I woke up. I was getting ready for work. And Alberger or somebody tweeted it. And I'm like, this is just a spoof now. We're spoofing. I would not have taken, if it was out there next Toronto Maple Leafs head coach was up for 500-1, I would have said it's missing two zeros. How could Jim Heller be a head coach ever again, let alone a franchise like Toronto? But I guess when you hire a con man as your GM, anything can happen.
Sure.
Hiller, yep. That's the worst challenge in the history of sports, and I don't know how you ever get one worse.
That's ever. Fair. That's fair.
Explain what happened.
Couldn't get out of the first. He challenged a goal in the Edmonton, a goal that tied the game. They had already looked at it. They had already looked at it about the puck going in, right? So the replay officials had looked at this for 5 minutes, and when it was done, he used a challenge to say there was interference. They'd already sat there in Toronto looking at it. And, of course, Edmonton was 90% on the power play in the last two games. Then, boom, they score right off the bat, and the series is over.
Yeah, they had a 2-0 series lead when Hiller, he decided to make that challenge.
Hiller, it was just unconscionable that he would give that, totally giving that game away. There was like 4 minutes left in the game. The dumbest challenge ever. And a guy who's never gotten out of the first round of the playoffs. Oh. I guess that's a big improvement on Berube. I don't know.
Very strong. Do you like anything tonight in Major League Baseball?
I don't. Is our guy ever going to come back after he got hit in the head with 107?
Lugo?
Lugo.
You took some pretty bad beats on him recently.
The rain.
The rain delay, and then he takes
the
one
rain,
off.
The rain, then he takes one off the dome. I mean, this is tough. Did they just come back from the hydration break? There'll probably be a goal here in the next 10,
yeah.
In the next 10 minutes.
3-2 was 33-1 here, if it holds up, 15 minutes left.
Incredible.
Can you imagine if England can't win this thing? They're going to score
three goals.
That's
a big blow to them if they walk away with this with a draw.
Yes. 3-2, 75th minute. You're right. All the chances they had. This could be 5-2.
There was a stretch there where it was like one right after another.
Yeah. How about the mistake from the keeper in the Norway game? Kicking it right. Howland's second goal. Kicks it right into him.
First of all, he didn't come. You could see Holland was closing it. You have to run up and kick it out of bounds. He sat there and drew back and then just knocked it right into Holland, into the goal, right after they had scored to tie it.
That was a high school mistake. Oh, have you noticed? I brought this up yesterday.
Link Sparks over 177. Yes, that's a
good one.
Tonight.
Yes. That's a good one. Have you noticed why a lot of these teams, either to begin the match or the second half, they are electing to kick it as far as they can out of bounds? Have you noticed that? Is there any rhyme or reason?
Why? Have you noticed all the teams that lost possession because they wouldn't throw it in when the referee was asking them? They're just quickly giving it to the other
team.
Yes,
they are.
And they almost scored on it in that Jordan game last night.
It happened earlier in this match right here.
It happened with Austria. He gave it and Jordan took it, inbounded it right away and had a break.
I love that you're so fired up about this tournament. It's great.
Pretty good sentiment here, isn't it?
Yeah. Awesome. Great to see you, Mike. Thank you. Best of luck tonight. Duck Kazarian next. He told me a team might score 110 against their opponent tonight in the WNBA. Find out which one that is next.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in. The match in Dallas right now coming to an end. Final moments. England clinging to a 4-2 lead over Croatia. Harry Kane with two goals early in the first half. And this tournament has been absolutely incredible to begin now. We're about a week in and we go out to the Progressive guest line. Much more on it here. Dallin Cuff joins the program now. Turner Sports, of course, loves the sport of soccer. Dallin, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it. How about this race for the golden boot after what happened yesterday? And now Harry Kane's like, here's two from me as well.
Guys, what's funny about this tournament, and this happens every time, and there was legit concerns. We got visa issues for players and referees. We got tickets not being sold. We got all types of different questions, concerns about what the weather will look like, unnecessary hydration breaks. Mm-hmm. It's been phenomenal. Like, it's just been tremendous. And the stars have shown out, which is cool. Yesterday was literally like a can you top this thing, ended by Messi with having a hat trick. And Kane kept his thing going today. Now, he did have his first penalty stop, but it was redone because the goalie Livakovic came off the line a little bit. So that those moments change games, but he was really good. The game was drunk overall. I mean, it was a wild game. Croatia equalized twice. Again, out of that first hydration break, changed the game. They were on their heels. They got, all of a sudden, they had all the momentum coming out of break. They pushed England back. England was sitting back, and then they equalized. It was 2-2 into the halftime. So it's been a phenomenal tournament. It's delivered in every way. We have not had any weather issues. The hydration break, like I mentioned, continues, I think, have an impact on how the games are being played and some goals and key moments. But it's been thoroughly entertaining, and I can't wait for it to keep going.
Can you expand on that? It gives me a chance to reset and draw something up, especially because we played your cut yesterday, and right after we played it, Norway scored out of the hydration break.
Yeah, it's thing with soccer is, I mean, every coach will tell you, some players will tell you about it. Once you're out there, it is up to you to figure it out. And they always say, solve the problem. They got to solve the problem. Whereas in, I'm a basketball player by trait. We're having media timeouts every few minutes. You have somebody aiding you in solving the problems. I mean, they're looking at it video now in the huddles. The last couple of years, the iPads that have become legalized in college and in pro, you are literally helping them solve the problem. In soccer, you're out there for 45. And if you can't figure it out, you're in trouble. Now you get a chance to reset, look at the iPad, look at the video, talk through things, and adjust some of your tactics, which is, I mean, that's where coaching becomes more impactful. I do think also England, in this game in particular, they went back out and they were more content to sit back, which at times you can, it's like playing a zone in basketball. I'll equate it to that. Like, you can kind of get lulled to sleep playing a zone. You're not as aggressive defensively. And I think coming out of that break in this game, they were kind of like, oh, we're up 2-1. We're kind of controlling the game. We'll sit back. And the whole game changed on its head. Like, you have to remain at a certain level of intensity. You can't switch off, what you hear all the time with soccer players. Do not switch off. There's a mental and a physical focus, usually for 45, break 45. But the turn off and then turn back on, some teams aren't doing it as well. And I do think we are seeing a change after these hydration breaks. And it's been an impactful number of games.
Yeah. So betting takeaways from this as well. More on that. We talked to Mike Palm earlier. He was in studio. He's the VP of Circa Las Vegas, Dallin. And he said some books will let you bet, like, will there be a goal in the next 10 or 15 minutes after a hydration break? Does that make some sense to you?
Yeah, I was looking at this earlier today, because you can bet in segments. You can bet goal 0 to 15 minutes, 15 to 30, 30 to 45. So I would look at the difference is that the hydration break is hitting at 22 and change. So you are really looking at, do you want to play 15 to 30 or 30 to 45 and get the full 15? You want to play them both? But we've seen, again, a number of goals, particularly in the first half. We've seen in the second half, but in the second half, it tends to be in games, you got guys making more changes, more substitutions happening. You have a change to the rhythm of the game more in second halves, especially when teams are up trying to milk a lead at times. So that now there are rules instituted in this World Cup where, I'm sure you guys have seen it, where your goalie can't hold the ball as long. They can't hold the kickoff, the goal kicks. You can't hold throw-ins without turning over possession, giving up a corner. So the pace of the games is faster than you see in some league games during a regular competition, regular season, if you will. But I still think there is, particularly in that first hydration break, there is some value, there's some opportunity there that if you want to kind of lean into that, we have seen a number of guys, number of teams, I should say, either concede or score coming out of that break the next 22 and a half.
Tomorrow night, Mexico and South Korea, do the draws continue? You're up 26 units, blindly playing the draw.
I stared at it. I think that is probably the most prudent play, but I was looking for a little more value within it. You could go double the chance, so you get draw or a South Korea win. I think South Korea was a more impressive team, guys. And there, think about this from a standpoint. We keep talking about travel and all these altitude in Mexico. South Korea is playing in the same stadium. They've been there for almost 2 weeks now. So you have the same team that played in the same stadium that had a lot of fans in that first game. They came back from down 1-0. They controlled the game in the second half. They played well with possession. We know they are susceptible on free kicks, which is that's how they conceded in their first match. But I think this Mexico's team will have a home field advantage, but home crowd advantage. But I think as far as the altitude and the different elements that you can feel in Mexico, it's not going to be the same. And they just weren't good, guys. I mean, they had a man advantage for a while, then they had a two-man advantage. It was not a great performance. South Korea looked really good. Doesn't mean it's going to continue to in this next game. There's no value on the under here. It's minus 170 in certain books, 165. So there's no value on the under. I think your goals are going to be at a premium in this game. So like I said, draw is a very prudent play. Double the chance. You're now playing, laying some juice because you're getting two of the three-way markets. You're getting the draw and you're getting the win for South Korea. That's minus 130, but I still think that's very playable given the number. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go, my place I lean the most is South Korea. If I want to get a little value, is plus 180, draw no bet. So that's, okay. You know, the draw would hit. I'm not taking the bet. I'm getting my money back. I'm getting my thing voided, but I got the plus 180 on the two-way market.
Yeah. So you really like them the way it sounds tomorrow night. Okay. That's going to be at 9 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific out here. What about Friday then? At 3 o'clock Eastern in Seattle. I can't wait to watch what this is going to look like. It's going to be phenomenal on television. Would love to be there. USA, one of the most impressive tournaments so far by any team, or games, I should say. But let's not look past what Australia did. I mean, so many people like Turkey to win this group, and Australia blanked them 2-0. So overall, your thoughts on that match?
First of all, guys, I will be there. So I'm pumped. Oh. And this is like one of the few times I'm going as a fan. Like, I haven't been to, I've had the last game. I would go to a Steelers game a year as a fan. And outside of that, we're looking back to like the World Cup in 2014. Like, it's a long stretch before I go as a fan to an event, but I'm pumped. My wife and I are going, buddy. hooked us up with some tickets. So we're flying out there tomorrow morning. Can't wait.
Great job.
As far as the game, thank you. As far as the game itself, I like the under here. And this is not a play about Pulisic's injury, which, again, they did a report today. He's day-to-day. He's not training with the team. We can score goals without Pulisic. He was electric the other night in the first 45. And when he's playing as confident as freewheeling as that, he's a real problem on that left side. But there are other players. Malik Tillman is outstanding offensively. Sergiño Dest was great on the right side the other day. And obviously Balogun was great scoring goals. It's more about Australia. Like, we're going to have to play a team that's going to lay back a lot and try to break us down. They're going to try to play on the counter quite a bit. They are kind of how the U.S. used to be constituted. They are the underdogs here. They are physical. They're tough-minded. They do not concede easily. And we saw that against Turkey. And Turkey had opportunities. There were some big saves. There were some big misses. And they capitalized on their opportunities. I like the under in this game. It was minus 120 earlier in the week. It's now minus 115, so a little movement. I think that's more so about, obviously, Americans want to bet the over. Like, this is not a shock. We all know that when it comes to, like, the home team and where those numbers are going to be. So I like the under in this game, under 2.5. I could see a 1-0, 2-0. I could see it being really tight. Hopefully the U.S. gets all 3 points. And this game will decide who wins this group, which was not what we thought would happen. And we should, you're right, we should not discount what Australia did the other day. That was one of the better performances of the better results and one of the better performances in terms of grinding out a really good result and taking advantage of your opportunities to get that win over Turkey.
I wanted to ask, because you're an expert on this, and we've seen Harry Kane 2 goals, Haaland 2 goals, Messi hat trick, Mbappe. Will Portugal, I don't know who it is, teammates, manager, coaches, will they have the guts to sit Ronaldo? Should he be benched?
Remember, he got dropped in the 2022 World Cup. Now, it was a different manager at that time, but they dropped him in the final game. Gonzalo Ramos started up there, who's still on the team right now, plays for PSG, who won the European Championship, won the Champions League. You know, if I'm Roberto Martinez, I'm playing Ramos up there. I'm not that Ronaldo was the problem necessarily today, but he's not what he once was, and there is a vacuum with him that he just demands the ball, and guys sometimes cede to him. And there were some examples. I thought Henri did a great job at halftime of showing, showing a run that he's supposed to make. It's again, why I think a part of the reason I love soccer so much is there was a movement that is synonymous with basketball. How you move can be, you know, selfless for your teammate. When you cut here, you open up a different part of the field. When you cut there, you open up a different part of the court. So he has to make certain runs. He won't make them because he's so obsessed with getting his own goals. And there was an element today. If he made the back post run, there was a guy, there's Bruno Fernandes, probably their kind of game winner, their match winner, one of the best players in the Premier League, coming in that pullback run that was waiting to finish there. But he stops his run, and then he comes back to the ball. It's like stopping your back cut in basketball. You don't do that because your teammate's going to throw it out of bounds. You can't stop that cut. He stops and comes back and basically intercepts a pass from his own teammate. There's a selfish nature by which has made him great. But at 41, I think it is now problematic. And he does not need to be in this team at the start of a match. If you need a goal late and you're pushing guys forward and you want to get him on fresh, that may help you. Yes, he's obviously scored a whole bunch of big goals in his career. But to start him from the start where he's offering so little defensively and then such a selfish nature offensively, and the guys cede their skill set to him. This is one of the most talented teams in the world. I don't think they need him, but they play like they do, and they want to play through him, and he wants that still. His time has passed. He is not, and he wanted to show out guys too, obviously. He saw what happened yesterday. Sure. This is one of those guys that he pays attention to all the stuff that happens around him, and he saw the stars yesterday. He wanted today to be his day, and it's just not that way anymore. And I don't know if Roberto Martinez has the onions, let's say, to make the call, but I don't even think it's that big a deal. I think the team is better without him. Credit Congo. DR Congo was outstanding in the match. They could have won it. I was really impressed with their organization, their toughness, and their ability to threaten on the counter and to make some plays. So you credit them as well. But with Ronaldo and the team, how they respond to this draw will be important and impactful. But I just don't think he's the guy that you want leading the line for all these matches. And Bruno Fernandes, the previous coach in 2022, did it for the good of the team. Ronaldo sulked a bit on the sidelines. We'll see if that happens again here. But bear in mind, they did win the 2016 Euros when he was at his peak, that he got hurt. And in the final, they won without him. Like, this team, this country still has a lot of good players through the years. They don't have to be reliant on Cristiano Ronaldo, although he wants that to be the case.
Galen, and so good. Thank you, and have a blast in Seattle. That's going to be incredible. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, boys. There you go. Appreciate you. See you next week.
Yep.
Thank you.
Follow him on X at Dallin Cuff, Turner Sports, Awesome on Soccer. Little baseball coming up next. I have a strong opinion on Seattle, by the way, the city. In fact, a couple of games tonight as well with players, multiple home runs versus the starting pitcher as well. That's coming up next on VSiN.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Best bets time, U.S. Open beginning tomorrow. Also some NBA draft, which is next Tuesday. We go out to the Progressive Guest Line. VSiN host Matt Eumanns joins the program, and he is live trying a new fast food sandwich at Shake Shack out here in Summerlin. What'd you try today, Matt? What's new on the menu here?
Hey, great to talk with you guys. I am live here at the Summerlin Shake Shack. It's pretty busy out here this afternoon. I've been meaning to get out here for a couple weeks to get the baby back rib sandwich. Someone told me that it's better than McRib, so I said, well, if that's true, I've got to get out here and get it.
Sure.
And by the way, you can also get baby back ribs. You don't have to get the sandwich. You got ribs, and I decided to go with the sandwich. I'm going to see how I compare it to the McRib, which is the obviously the gold standard of all rib sandwiches. And if the McRib is a 10 on the scale, I'm going to give the Shake Shack rib sandwich a 7. It's not quite the McRib. The pickle's really good. The barbecue sauce is really good. The rib sandwich itself is a different texture than the McDonald's McRib. And some would say that's a good thing, but I wouldn't say that. So I think while it's really good, it's not legendary. It is worth your trip out here to try it. By the way, I got one more update for you on fast food. I went to Panda Express. I know a lot of people attach a negative stigma to Panda.
Oh, no, it's good.
You like it? Okay.
Yeah.
So some people, some love it, some hate it. I ranked it right around number 40 or 42, I think, last year. But Panda has got a brand new barbecue brisket. And it's by far the best thing at Panda. I don't know if you guys even were aware it's out there, but it's definitely worth a stop at Panda to get the barbecue brisket. It's
outstanding. Yeah, fair. I get after the walnut shrimp. Pretty good as well. Thorough breakdown. That's why you're the best. Looking forward to those rankings in August again. What do you got for the NBA draft, my friend? I understand you moved the number. Run it down. How do you think this is going to go Tuesday? It's getting juicy, and I'm hearing a lot of Boozer number two.
You know what? It's interesting that that report came out in the New York Times that said the Utah Jazz are really torn on who they want at number two. They don't know if they want DeBanta, Boozer, or Peterson. But that's complete BS. I read a quote from a GM who said about 2 weeks ago, he said, everyone in the league, everyone knows that the Jazz are dying to get DeBanta. Mm-hmm. And so if the Utah Jazz are dying to get A.J. DeBanta, why in the world would the Wizards ever pick Darren Peterson number one? Because you would just trade down to number two. You know that the Jazz are going to take DeBanta at two. If you take Peterson once, you would just trade down to two, pick up an extra pick or a future pick or something. It would be idiotic to take Peterson number one. That's why it doesn't make sense. If you're looking at the prediction markets right now, the price is shooting up. I saw it this morning. Price is shooting up on DeBanta being the number one overall pick. Now, I don't believe the Utah Jazz want Peterson. I think they want Boozer. And to me, Boozer's a winning player. He's a guy who's going to help you win for 10 years. I don't think, and this is what I've said about Peterson all along, and I started to say this in January, he doesn't do things that help you win. Yeah, he's got nice athletic ability and scoring moves, and people fall in love with that stuff. But he gives a half-assed effort. He doesn't defend. He doesn't rebound. He doesn't do things to help you win. Maybe he'll score 25 points on 20 shots. But that's not the type of guy you need to be drafting. I wouldn't even take him in the top five. And so that's why I think, you know, the smarter basketball executives around the league know that. And Boozer is going to be a much more valuable player. If I had to bet on the sequence right now, I think it's going to be DeBanta, Boozer, Peterson. And you can look at DraftKings. I think, what is that, 4-1 odds right now?
Yeah.
And I believe that's worth a shot. Okay. How about this? And here's a player I really like. If that doesn't happen, Caleb Wilson is going to go 3 or 4, and you can bet on that. I would take Caleb Wilson 3, if not 2. I think he's got huge upside, and to me, he's NBA ready as well. But Caleb Wilson, bet on him to go 3 or 4 to the Bulls, and I think that's how the top four is going to play out. And I would even, you know, I don't think Peterson's going to slip below 3, even though I wouldn't take him. But I think Caleb Wilson probably goes number 4 to the Bulls. Anyway, on February 9th, I bet DeBanta to be the number one overall pick, a plus 550. And I'm not even going to hedge that position because it doesn't make sense for him not to go number one. You know, the Wizards have never been known as geniuses, right? So maybe they would do something stupid. But Tim Murray tries to tell me that the Wizards have smarter people in their basketball front office now, which that would be the first time ever if that's the case. And he says they're not going to make that mistake. So there's a lot of things to look at for the NBA draft next week. But one play I made on Monday morning was Kingston Flemings, the freshman guard from Houston, to go under 9.5. And it was even money at DraftKings at the time. And I believe right now it's about minus 275. I talked about it on the show with Super Dave and Jensen Monday morning. I know a bunch of people bet this. I think Kingston Flemings goes 6, 7, 8, 9, right in that range. Maybe he slips to 10 and you lose that bet, but I doubt it. I think he's going to go somewhere from 6 to 9. If you're looking for players who should slip, I think Keaton Wagler from Illinois would be one of those guys that maybe slip to number 10. But Flemings right now at FanDuel is minus 500 to go in the top 10. Now, he was, like I said, even money under 9.5 on Monday morning. I would look at a couple other things, and Tim Murray and I will be doing an NBA draft special Tuesday night from 5 to 9. And this is not like the NBA. This is not like the NFL draft. The NBA is not the same. But again, Boozer to go number 2 is plus 205. I think that's probably worth a shot. Maybe you can find a little bit better number. I would look for Adai Mara, the 7'3" center from Michigan, to go in the top 10. And I believe the one thing that could happen here, I think Oklahoma City is going to trade up and try to get him. And if OKC stays put at number 12, look for the Thunder to take another Wolverines player, Yaxel Lindeborg, who I think he's being slept on a little bit. I love Lindeborg. I think he should be a top 10 pick, and for some reason, he's outside the top 10 right now.
Yep, totally. That would be a great pick by Oklahoma City. Matt Youmans, our guest here. Okay, so that's all NBA draft. I listened last night on the way home. Your third favorite major. I was surprised by that. I thought you'd have a little bit higher than that. But it's the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. In a couple of minutes left here, Matt, your best bet right now would be what for the tournament?
Tommy Fleetwood, top 10. I'll go top 10 Tommy. That's going to be my theme for this week. And I bet Fleetwood top 10 at a plus 225. I also played Matt Fitzpatrick top 20 at a plus 105. Here's my concern with Fitzmagic, and I think I saw on the BSIM Pro page, you're on this as well, Mitch. The wind is going to be a big factor on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I bet this before I read about the wind forecast. And I knew it was going to be somewhat of a factor, but you never know with the weather forecast. You hear one thing, then you turn the golf on, and something totally different's happening, or it's not as bad as it's forecast to be. You're going to have wind gusts from 35 to 45 miles an hour tomorrow. But the early wave of players supposedly are going to get the best of it, better conditions. Scheffler's in the morning wave. Ludwig Oberg's in the morning wave. I think Rory is too. Matt Fitzmagic, he's in the afternoon. So he's going to get the worst of it tomorrow, which, of course, I don't like to hear that. But I did play Fleetwood at 20-1, Fitz at 20-1, Scheffler. 6-1 at the Westgate Superbook. I played Scheffler top 5. I played him top 10. Hopefully his putting's not a big problem this week. I played Russell Henley at 35-1. And a few long shots. It took at Circo last night. I took Justin Rose at 60-1. I took Shane Lowry at 80. And Joaquin Neiman at 100-1. Again, you've got to be a good win player to survive this week. And I think even though it's not true links golf, I think you're going to see some of the European players. And that's why I'm playing guys like Fitz, Fleetwood, Lowry. I think some of those guys are going to have maybe a bit of an advantage on that course and in those conditions at Shinnecock Hills this week.
Did you do anything with Ober? He's kind of juiced up there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Here's what I'd recommend with Ludwig Oberg, because he's a mental midget, and when the pressure gets on, cranked up on the weekend, he can't handle it and he collapses. So if you want to bet Oberg, he goes off in that morning wave tomorrow where he's going to get the better conditions. I looked up on, I believe it's on DraftKings, 33-1 odds to be the first round leader. That's the way I would play it, because I think he's got a much better shot than, since he's getting favorable conditions on Thursday, much better shot to be the first round leader than he does the winner, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's good. And I was looking to add some first-round leaders as well. Is that the only guy that you're attacking that market with, or did you grab anybody else going off early?
Well, I'm going to look at a few more of those tonight. And I saw Scheffler was 16-1 in the first round, but he's typically a slow starter, even though he's getting the better of the weather. I want to go through all the players who are going to be – I want to look at that weather forecast tonight and see who's going to get the best of it. But Oberg is one of those guys that, even though you really can't bet him to win, he does get off to fast starts.
Yeah.
And if he's getting the best of the weather tomorrow, that 33-1, I think might be a play on that. What was Indy Jeff's best bet?
He loves Fitzpatrick, and he loves Harris English top 30 plus 124, I believe, was his best bet.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah. All right, Matt, love where your head's at. Thank you. Best of luck.
Okay, you bet. Thanks.
Thank you.
There you go. Matt Youmans 24/7 on X, by the way. In Pocket Plays, we'll recap last night's action. I have a bunch of golf bets. Paulie cranking it out as well. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.